You're listening to the Screaming Pods Network.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Just the Discs. This time I'm returning to one of my favorite labels. I've definitely said it a few times before on the show, and that is Indicator from the UK. They are always doing interesting stuff, always looking forward to their new announcements. In fact, they've just recently announced one of my favorite things and most anticipated box sets that I've been waiting for somebody to put out for a long time, and that is a Bud Bedeker collection. It's called Five Tall Tales, and it's some of the Bedeker Randolph Scott westerns that they did with Columbia from 1957 to 1960, and these are some of the best ones, including The Tall T, Ride Lonesome, Decision at Sundown, Comanche Station, and Buchanan Rides Alone. So I cannot wait for this box set. I have had the DVD set in my collection for a little while, but to have these movies on Blu-ray is incredibly exciting to me. These are some of my favorite sort of lesser-seen westerns, but The Tall T and Ride Lonesome in particular are absolutely fantastic. And I think I've brought up The Tall T on Pure Cinema.
My wife, do you know who she is?
Oh, boo.
She's old man Gateway's daughter.
So?
So he just owns the richest copper mine in the territory. Well, don't you see? You've got the daughter of a millionaire. His only daughter. What do you suppose he'd pay to get her back?
I can't recall if I know I've mentioned Ride Lonesome. I can't remember if I've actually picked it.
The idea in Ride Lonesome, this loner, and Scott plays it so perfectly. I find that I use this particular film as a reference to a lot of younger actors in certain pictures I made. Particularly The Departed and a number of other pictures where the people find themselves alone in a certain world and universe and everybody's against them, so to speak. The loner, I mean, in a way is really essential to the history of the Western. He's out there in the wilderness, he's making his way in his own. And so you have to ask yourself how central it is, really, as Americans, to the history of this country, the idea of the loner. It's because it's a big part of our mythology, our idea of ourselves as Americans, and obviously it's there in the, you know, Melville, the greatest, Moby Dick being the first and most famous example to come to mind. It's central to the Westerns and just as central to urban stories like offhand On Dangerous Ground, Nick Ray's film, for instance, or a picture I made, Taxi Driver, that Schrader wrote. And of course, most stories of loners are also about their struggle to fit in with the community or to come to terms with the community, overcome some kind of hurt or loss. And that's one of the elements that's so powerful in Ride Lonesome.
But Comanche Station is great too. So this set is due to come out on May 21st, and it's got new 2K restorations for, looks like, Ride Lonesome, and then HD transfers for The Tall T, Decision at Sundown, Buchanan Rides Alone, and Comanche Station. Archival audio interviews with Bud Bedeker from 1969, very exciting, looking forward to hearing those. A Guardian interview with him from 1994, something called Bud Bedeker and the Renown Cycle, and that's excerpts from Eckhart Schmidt's documentary, Visiting Bud Bedeker. Kim Newman on the Renown Cycle, that's a new appreciation and analysis by the critic and author of Wild West movies. I didn't realize Kim Newman was a Western fan. I always think of him as a horror person, but this is great. Look forward to that. And yeah, there's some other stuff here too, but this set, I cannot wait to have it in my hands. Really, really looking forward to it. Also coming from Indicator, and you can see all this stuff at powerhousefilms.co.uk. Definitely keep that tab bookmarked for their new announcements. They've got The St. Valentine's Day Massacre, the Roger Corman movie with Jason Robards and George Segal. That's coming on April 23rd. Another one I'm extremely excited about is Little Murders, also coming on the 23rd. And this is a Blu-ray premiere, and it's adapted from a controversial stage play by Jules Pfeiffer, who wrote Carnal Knowledge. It's like this weird nihilistic black comedy and the directorial debut of actor Alan Arkin. It stars Elliot Gould.
Life is full of little problems.
Creep.
Little annoyances. Little irritations.
Police emergency, Sergeant Kirshner. One moment.
Little pains. Little setbacks.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
And little disappointments.
Why not?
I don't feel like it. I'll tell you when I feel like it.
And it's just, there's not too many movies like this one. And the DVD has been out of print for a while, so this is exciting that this is getting a Blu-ray. It is going to be Region B, this one. But I can't wait. That's April. And then Suddenly Last Summer with Liz Taylor, Katherine Hepburn, and Monty Clift. Also a really neat movie. One of my favorite Tennessee Williams adaptations.
Sebastian only needed you while you were still useful.
Useful?
I mean young. Able to attract.
He's babbling again, babbling and lying.
He left her home because
you stole him.
Lost her attractiveness.
What does attractiveness have to do with the son and the mother?
You see, Doctor, we were both decoys.
I'm not a big Tennessee Williams fan necessarily, but yeah, this is a good one. And then for those that missed it, they have already put out Gumshoe, which is Stephen Frears' I think directorial debut, which is a neat... I heard somebody say it was like a Coen Brothers movie 45 years prior to, you know, what they were doing. It's not, it's 45 years old. Sorry, it's only like 10, 15 years prior to what they were doing. But it is neat to see Albert Finney in it. You can kind of feel a slight Miller's Crossing connection, but it's neat. I like that one a lot. That just came out. Michelangelo Antonioni's The Passenger with Jack Nicholson. Really interesting movie. One of my favorite last shots in a film. There's a movie called Otley, which I've never seen before. It has Tom Courtney. That sounds intriguing. And then there's one called Town on Trial that I've never heard of, and some have said is a quasi-inspiration for Twin Peaks. I don't know. I'm definitely in on all of these. So that's some recent releases you can get already right now. Anyway, on to the focus of this episode. I'm talking about the Hammer Volume 2 box set. It's called Criminal Intent. And I think a lot of people, rightfully, when they think of Hammer films, they think of horror. You think Hammer horror, like that phrase kind of, those two words kind of go together.
The Masters of Horror present the Masterpieces of Horror. The ultimate in evil and desire. Frankenstein. Monster and Madness.
But this is some of their thriller output, and I think it's some really interesting movies, four of them in this set, that I don't think any of which have been on Blu-ray. There might be one or two of these are have crept in on Mill Creek double sets without any extras, but it's nice to have all four of these in a set. And again, I've said it before, but Indicator's killing it with their box sets. They're just ridiculous. I highly recommend going and checking out any and all of them. The Sinbad stuff, the Harryhausen stuff, there's just a bunch of great content, and they just look really great on a shelf from a collector point of view. Anyway, so first up in this set is a movie called The Snorkel from 1958.
The door is locked from the inside, and a man prepares to kill. No one in this room can survive. No one except you, the killer with a gimmick. The killer with a snorkel.
Now, this one features a screenplay by Jimmy Sangster, or at least he's one of the credited screenwriters, and he's a Hammer guy that I like quite a bit. He wrote some of the classics like Horror of Frankenstein and Horror of Dracula, Curse of Frankenstein, Scream of Fear. He did The Mummy. He's quite prolific. Anyway, this one is intriguing. The most interesting use of a snorkel I've ever seen in a film. And when you're thinking of your traditional snorkel, just like a mask with a very small tube, this is actually different than that. This is like a late 50s model snorkel. So it has like these extra long tubes, two of them coming out of the mask itself. And I don't want to give away too much, but the movie's not really about diving. Basically, it's sort of a sort of a stepfather movie, you know, but way before the stepfather movies. It's like a story of a girl whose mother dies in what the cops are calling a suicide. She doesn't buy it. She thinks that her stepfather murdered her. And so the movie is sort of about her trying to prove that.
Now, Candy, you have had a big upset. It is not always easy to see things clearly.
I do see things clearly. I always did. No one thought I was different from other girls till I saw Paul kill Daddy. Then they had to explain what they couldn't believe, so they said I was imagining things. I don't imagine things, and I'm not imagining things now.
We shall look at facts. Your mother was found in a room with a door locked on the inside. The gardener had to break down the door. There are no other ways out. There are no ways the door could have been locked from the outside.
Then he was inside, hiding.
But he's a man, Candy. He breathes like you and me. If he is inside, he takes the gas too. He dies. And where does he hide? He is not invisible.
But there must be a way. There has to be a way.
If you can show me how a man can be in a room invisible, a room full of gas but with air to breathe, I shall arrest him. But until then, Candy...
I'll find out, Inspector, and then I'll come back.
And it's really interesting. It reminds me a little bit of like Dial M for Murder, where you're trying to sort of trick somebody into revealing themselves. And it's a nice build. I was a fan of this one when I first saw it, and I'm happy to have it on a Blu-ray. Definitely one of my favorites in this set. And not a movie that would probably get made today, mostly because a snorkel wouldn't be the thing. Anyway, again, I don't want to spoil anything, but definitely well worth a look. Special features include high-definition remaster, original mono audio, audio commentary with film historian Michael Brook and author Jimmy Maynes, Undercover Killer, Inside the Snorkel, 2018, 21 minutes, an analysis of the film and its production by Hammer expert Jonathan Rigby, BFI curator Josephine Botting, and cultural historian John J. Johnston. Hammer's Women, Betta St. John, 2018, 11 minutes, Diabolic Magazine's editor-in-chief Kat Ellinger offers an appreciation of the American actress, singer, and dancer. I love this continuation of Indicators collaborating with Kat Ellinger. Can't get enough of her special features. She's great for this. She's just a perfect person to do this sort of thing. And I look forward to every time that they, you know, bring her back. Original script ending, 10 minutes, a reconstruction of the final scenes as they appear in Jimmy Sangster's screenplay. Peter Alcorn and Hugh Harlow remember The Snorkel, 2018, 8 minutes. The Hammer production crew regulars recall making the film. Four Note Fear, 2018, 24 minutes. An appreciation of composer Francis Chagrin's score by David Huckvale, author of Hammer film scores and the musical Avant-Garde. Trailer, image gallery, etc. Booklet with a new essay by Kat Ellinger. Jimmy Sangster on The Snorkel. Contemporary reviews, etc. This one is all region. Next up, we have a film called Never Take Sweets from a Stranger.
The crime which we have to consider is an ugly thing. It is also, by its very nature, a secret thing.
An extraordinary announcement from the management. This is the first time we have ever presented a story of this kind. Because it has been told so delicately, we believe every adult will want to see it. Our story takes place in Eastern Canada, but it could happen to children anywhere, just as it did one day to Lucille and Jean.
Stop! Stop! Help! I've dropped my purse. It's got all my money in it. 35 cents. Oh, it's gone. It's gone.
Was that your candy money?
I'll never have so much money again in all my life.
Never mind.
Never mind?
I know somewhere where you can get some candy for nothing.
Oh, you didn't mean that, did you? About taking off all your clothes?
Yes, I did.
Why did you do it, Jean?
Because Mr. Alderbury asked us to.
Do you think he did what Jean said he did?
Yes, I do.
Actually made them undress. apparently.
If he touched her, I swear I'll kill the swine.
You and your husband are strangers in this town. Nobody knows much about you.
What has that got to do with it?
Quite a lot in a place like this. I don't say it's right, but it's how things are.
But you seem to forget that my husband has just been appointed principal of your high school. That must give him some standing in the community.
Some standing. The older Berries have a lot more.
I think it's also known as Never Take Candy from a Stranger, but I think this is the title I most often see it under. And this one is the story of... It's pretty dark. This man finds his 9-year-old daughter has been the victim of a pedophile, and he happens to be the patriarch of the town's most powerful family. So you can imagine how complicated such a scenario might be.
Are you trying to suggest that my husband and I withdraw our charge? We just go home and forget about what happened to our child?
Well, now you mention it, just what did happen to your child? As far as I can see, nothing very much.
Captain Hammond, have you any children of your own?
I'm sorry, I have, ma'am. 5 of them. 3 boys and 2 girls. So I guess I know just about as much as anybody how much notice to take of the things kids say when they've been doing something they know they shouldn't.
Such as?
Going to people's houses and begging for candy.
How dare you?
Well, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I get kind of riled when I think of all the trouble that can be caused by a little exaggeration. I'm not denying that maybe the old man did get a little fresh with those kids.
A little fresh? You call it a little fresh getting young girls to strip in front of him?
Well, nobody was hurt, were they? He didn't do anything.
Yes, he did do something. He attacked their innocence, and I don't mean their physical innocence, I mean their minds. And the only reason he didn't succeed was because they were too young and inexperienced to know what he was after.
In other words, no real harm's been done.
I didn't say that.
That's what it's going to sound like if you force the issue and bring this out in an open court.
Will it?
Look, Mrs. Carter, you've got to be realistic. The Oldenburys practically made Jamestown. If it hadn't been for Clarence, that's the old man starting the sawmill, there'd probably be nothing but trees where I'm standing right now. And if it hadn't been for Richard branching out in 100 different ways, we'd have stayed nothing more than an overgrown lumber camp, instead of being one of the most prosperous go-ahead places this side of the St. Lawrence.
I'm sure that's true, Captain Hammond. But you can't expect it to make much difference to Mr. Carter and me. We're not members of your Chamber of Commerce.
No, ma'am, you and your husband ain't members of nothing here. And you're not likely to be if you insist on going through with this thing.
I don't see that we have any choice. Not only for Jean, but for every other child in your prosperous go-ahead town.
Okay, make fun of us. We're nothing but poor, stupid colonials. But at least we know how to look after ourselves and our own children. We know enough to keep them away from a house like that.
A house like what?
I mean, strangers' houses, where they're not wanted, where they got no business to be.
I'm always fascinated by movies like this and frustrated by them at the same time, when you have a really awful, terrible, evil person who is in some ways protected by their position in the community, and that sort of process that an outsider slash, you know, regular person in the town has to go through to sort of gather enough evidence and find a way to convince people that this person is a total scumbag creep. And so, like I said, creepy, frustrating in a way, but again, not really like your traditional Hammer film, but still, you know, has a great sense of unease about it. And definitely one that you won't soon forget, I don't think. I'm trying to think if the cast... I don't know any of these actors. It's a British cast from the... This film was from 1960. Gwen Watford, Patrick Allen, Felix Ulmer, Neil McGuinness, I know. Anyway, special features on this one include High Definition Remaster, original mono audio. It's presented under its original British title, which is the Never Take Sweets. Never Take Candy from a Stranger, the alternative U.S. version. Conspiracy Theories, Inside Never Take Sweets from a Stranger, 2018, 25 minutes. An analysis of the film and its production by Hammer expert Jonathan Rigby, BFI curator Josephine Botting, and cultural historian John J. Johnston. Hammer's Women, Gwen Watford, 2018, 8 minutes. British cinema expert Dr. Laura Main explores the life and career of the prolific English film, stage, and television actress. An interview with Janina Fay, 2018, 15 minutes. The British actress recalls her time working with Hammer. and An Appreciation by Matthew Holness, 2018, 12 minutes. The actor, writer, director, and Hammer fan reflects on many aspects of the film. The Perfect Horror Chord, 2018, 44 minutes. This is really a good feature. A New Appreciation of Composer Elizabeth Lutyens by David Huckvale, author of Hammer Film Scores and the Musical Avant-Garde. Brian Trenchard-Smith, Trailer Commentary, 2013, 4 minutes.
Hammer took a lot of heat for making Never Take Sweets from a Stranger. In the England of 1960, the topic of child sexual abuse was taboo, unsuitable for conversation in polite society. To produce a dramatic film on the subject was sordid and distasteful, according to the British press. Publicity materials like these, both in the UK and abroad, did not help the public image of the movie. While Hammer in their heyday were masters at exploiting the sensational, in this instance, their motives were altruistic and their approach was sensitive. But in our business, no good deed will go unpunished. Critics were negative, audiences stayed away. Hammer never made another social message picture again.
That's from Trailers from Hell. A 40-page booklet with new essay by Julian Upton, correspondence between Hammer and the BBFC, extracts from the original publicity materials and film credits. Also all region. Next up, we have another film with multiple titles. The disc that you have here comes under the title of The Full Treatment. But it also goes by the much more salacious title, Stop Me Before I Kill! Exclamation point. Also from 1960.
The doctor who knows the warning. The French bride who fears the warning. Her lover who reveals the warning.
Go on, take deep breaths and keep talking.
Oh, I can't breathe. Take me out.
For the first time, a picture lays bare the mind of a man. For the first time, a subconscious obsession becomes a reality.
Stop lying, Colby. Stop lying to yourself. When do you feel you most want to kill her?
After we...
Stop running away. What do you do with the stretcher?
I put it round her neck and
go
then...
on.
Pull it tight.
I couldn't hear.
Pull it tight!
Suspense that is real and daring. A mature drama. Intimate. Penetrating.
What's he like as a husband?
According to you, murder.
Is it different since the accident?
Naturally, it's different.
I mean, as a lover. Tell me, Denise. Is he rougher?
No.
And it's about a race car driver who, after surviving a traumatic car accident, travels to the Côte d'Azur to recover, but he's plagued by an urge to strangle his wife. This one is very interesting and intriguing and is directed by Val Guest, who I'm a big fan of, British director, who did some cool Hammer stuff like The Abominable Snowman. He also did The Day the Earth Caught Fire, which I like a lot. The Quatermass Experiment. Yeah, I mean, he's incredibly prolific in terms of the number of films he made, but a very solid craftsman as well. So this one, yeah, this one feels like Hitchcock or something to me. I don't know. I enjoy this one on that level.
Is it my fault?
No, Denise, it's not you.
Then what is it?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. Do you?
Well, if you don't know...
I wasn't there when they briefed you.
I don't understand.
Maybe everybody knows about me. Does Proud know?
Proud?
Yes, did you discuss me?
Of course I didn't discuss
you. You never mentioned me.
I said I had a husband who was...
Was what?
Who was getting over a bad accident and who wasn't quite...
Normal?
Wasn't quite recovered yet.
Sorry.
Try to relax, Alan. Maybe it's just because we did too much today.
Sure, I drove 2 miles.
You must try to be sensible.
If you were sensible, you'd walk out on me. Nobody'd blame you.
Oh, Val, you... Didn't you ever stop to think that I might love you?
God knows why. I'm a mess.
You're an impatient mess, Tesoro. But these things can't be got over it just like that. Quick, quick, quick. So now, we'll order a meal and eat it in bed, huh?
No, I don't want to stay up here. Well,
then you can eat downstairs.
I don't want to eat downstairs. I want to eat down there at his villa, along with all his other unconventional guests.
You're joking.
I'm not joking, Denise. I've got to learn to face people like Proud without feeling inferior.
But all this you'll do in time.
It may not be time. I need confidence, Denise. I need it now.
We refuse the invitation.
Look, let's forget the good manners for once. Anyway, he said it was open house. Don't let me go alone, Denise.
Dakar. But I wouldn't like to be your nurse.
And the features include High Definition Remaster, Original Mono Audio, Complete and Uncut UK Version with its original titles, so that's the full treatment. Stop Me Before I Kill, 108 Minutes, the alternative censored US version. So if you're used to seeing it under that title, and I think it might have been released on DVD under that title, you did not see, I guess, the full uncut version. So that's a plus for sure to get that version. Something called Mind Control Inside the Full Treatment, 2018, 21 minutes, an analysis of the film and its production by Hammer expert Jonathan Rigby, BFI curator Josephine Botting, and cultural historian John J. Johnston. Hammer's Women, Diane Salento, 2018, 11 minutes. Dr. Melanie Williams, author of Female Stars of British Cinema, explores the life and career of the Australian theater and film actress and author. A Subject for Analysis, 2018, 15 minutes. The BFI's Vic Pratt explores the work of prolific British filmmaker Val Guest. Loved that one. That's a great... I could spend more than 15 minutes learning about Val Guest. Censored Scene, 4 minutes. The bathroom scene that revealed too much for U.S. censors. It's interesting to have that separated out. 40-page booklet, new essay by Kim Newman, original press and publicity materials, contemporary reviews, also all region. And lastly, we have a film called Cash on Demand from 1961.
This is the Habersham branch of the City and Colonial Bank, in a quiet provincial town where nothing ever happens. But about 10 o'clock on the morning of December the 23rd, as these doors are open for business, the most startling, terrifying 2 hours of this man's life will commence.
I walk into this bank this morning, hand a card over the counter, and immediately I'm shown in here and left alone with Fordyce. I could have stuck a gun in his ribs as soon as the door closed.
If I may say so, sir, you don't look much like a gunman.
What does a gunman look like? Like this?
Don't do anything, Fordyce. They'll die if you move or say a word.
What is it you want?
Just some money.
So this one is the story of a charming but ruthless criminal that holds the family of a bank manager hostage as part of a cold-blooded plan to steal £97,000. I always think it's interesting to see that plot where somebody decides to rob a bank in a roundabout way. I'm going to deal with one of the main employees there and get them to do the work for me. It's happened a few times in the movies, but this one has Peter Cushing, so you have some real Hammer pedigree in that respect.
Pearson, I was just going to send for you. That'll be all, Harville.
Thank you.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Fodder?
It's about this business of falsifying the books which you and Harville have been mixed up in.
Falsifying?
This question of Burnaby's £10. You initialed Harville's balance last Wednesday, did you not?
Wasn't falsifying. We were checking each item. In a day or two, we would have discovered the mistake.
It's very easy to say after the event.
We're not exactly amateurs in the business, sir.
That's certainly true. Amateurs wouldn't be clever enough to create a fund specifically to cover up mistakes made by the staff. You do see where such abuse could lead, don't you? Well, do you see the point? This fund operates only for mistakes which are discovered, which means that other mistakes, or rather falsifications, could be occurring which are not discovered.
I suppose you're entitled to put your own construction on what has happened.
Thank you. Then you would agree that I have a duty to protect this bank and its clients against embezzlement.
I must ask you to withdraw that allegation. It's insane. It's no good, Fordyce, is it?
What's no good?
This whole business doesn't involve Burnaby's £10. It's a question of temperaments, yours and mine. I realise that it's largely my fault, that we haven't anything in common.
Really, Pearson?
Can't we straighten this ridiculous business out once and for all? I know we disagree about almost everything. My way of looking at things irritates you.
I am not in the least interested in your way of looking at things. You are here to concern yourself with banking, not personalities.
Mr. Fordyce, I'm asking you to recommend me for a transfer to one of our branches in London.
Do you really think that I could recommend you to another branch? Your signature on a balance sheet is apparently worthless. If I were to recommend you, I'd be as guilty of dishonesty as you are.
I'm not dishonest.
Then explain these initials.
I have.
Not to my satisfaction. Apparently you haven't grasped the full significance of what I've just been saying. It isn't only that I couldn't in all honesty forward your transfer. There is also a strong doubt in my mind as to whether I can keep you on here.
You dismiss me after 11 years from the one business I know. You make it impossible for me to get another job as chief clerk at any bank in the country. You do that.
It is time to open for business, Pearson.
Yeah, so there's a bogus insurance investigator conducting a meticulous small-town bank robbery is another description of the film. Stagey but suspenseful set-piece reworking of the Scrooge story in which an urbane but ruthless thief induces the complicity of a fastidious bank manager with threats against his family. Like I said, very interesting for it being a little bit ahead of its time and being clever. I do appreciate a good bank robbery movie of any kind, really, but certainly one that's trying to do something different or be smart about the whole process.
That last little exhibition was to tell my friend that the first stage of the operation is completed. It is the last signal he will get from me. The next will come from you.
I can't take any more of this. Look, I've had enough. You've got what you came for. Now why don't you go?
That is exactly what I intend to do. But first we must discuss the most important stage of this operation, my getaway.
They'll catch you. They'll catch all of you.
I hope not, Fordyce, for your sake.
What do you mean?
I have a rendezvous with my friends in about an hour's time. If I fail to turn up, they're likely to become irritable, restless, and generally unpleasant.
I am not interested or concerned.
But you are, Fordyce. You've missed the point again. You are most concerned.
But you haven't... You don't mean you're taking them with you?
Not taking, Fordyce. Borrowing, to use a banker's term, as collateral.
You cannot subject them to any more. My wife is very highly strung. For pity's sake, leave them. I'll go with you willingly. I'd do anything you say.
Sit down.
Yeah, and like I said, having Cushing in there is great. He plays the bank manager, and it definitely makes the movie better and more engaging, because I'm always rooting for Peter Cushing, even when he's evil or whatever. I just love him as an actor. I think I've mentioned him on the show before, and he's one of my faves. So for those that haven't seen this Cushing film, definitely worth your time. One of the better ones, probably my second favorite in the set after The Snorkel. All of these are all good, to be honest. There's not a bad one in the bunch as far as, you know, a solid thriller experience. So Cash on Demand features include High Definition Remaster, Original Mono Audio, Alternative UK Theatrical Cut, 67 minutes, audio commentary with film historian Jonathan Rigby and David Miller, audio commentary with film historians Jonathan Rigby and David Miller, The Perfect Crime inside Cash on Demand, 2018, 19 minutes, an analysis of the film and its production by Hammer expert Jonathan Rigby, BFI curator Josephine Botting, and cultural historian John J. Johnston. Hammer's Women, Lois Dane, 2018, 10 minutes. Critic and author Becky Booth on the popular English film and television actress. I do like that all these discs have this little Hammer's Women featurette thing going on them. That's a neat feature. I like that they're highlighting actresses, because again, I am not as familiar with some of these British actors and actresses, and so I appreciate these little spotlights. Lois Dane on Cash on Demand, 2018, 8 minutes. New and exclusive interview. Original trailer, 36-page booklet with new essay by Kim Newman, archival cast and crew interviews and profiles. Just another great disc all around, also region free. So that will do it for this Hammer Volume 2 box set, Criminal Intent. Definitely worth your time. Add it to your Indicator collection. There's not a box set that they've made that I haven't enjoyed, so I don't know. I hate to get people started on a new label, because I know how that goes with a collector if you haven't already, you know, taken the plunge with Indicator. But any one of the box sets I've covered, go back through previous episodes. I've covered all the box sets thus far that have been released, and they're all great. In fact, I haven't come across an indicator release that I haven't liked. So, like I said, keep an eye out on powerhousefilms.co.uk. They have a Facebook page and Twitter that they are constantly updating with announcements. I can't wait to talk about them some more. In fact, I have Gumshoe in the queue for another episode that I'm working on, so you should hear about that one relatively soon as well. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Have a lovely and Blu-ray filled week. Bye-bye.